Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, it's being dubbed as the biggest budget splurge since the Celtic Tiger era, with parents, workers, carers, pensioners all projected to be better off after today's budget announcement, which gets underway in the Dáil at 1pm. Our reporter Brian O'Connell has been getting reaction from people in Mallow in County Cork.
What are you hoping for in the budget?
Not a whole pile. It's also €12. I wonder what would he get, huh? The overall scheme of things are going up.
Why do you say that?
The cost of living is frightening. I don't know, there seems to be plenty of money, but it's going up.
I'm hoping that people like myself, middle earner incomes, mortgages, school costs, rising costs, those people, we're outside of the social security network and struggling in our own way, that we get something. And we are in our own way trying to keep head above water. We are.
And then in terms of cost of living?
I think that when I have to look at it and go, aren't I very lucky that I can walk to my job? Aren't I very lucky that I live close to town? Aren't I very lucky? Like I know that there's people, and the minute petrol prices rise, minute fuel prices rise, it becomes a serious issue.
There seems to be a lot of money that the government has to play with. I can't imagine everybody's going to be happy.
No, well, they're never going to make everybody happy. And let's just see how they play it out for people and that, like, you know, yeah. But social housing and that really does have to be looked at.
Are you expecting much?
No, I never got too much in the budget. I'm an OEP shortly, so yes, it would be nice.
So you'd be looking to see, is the pension, the state pension increased?
Yes, we own our own home, so, and my partner works full time. I work part time, and I suppose, like, tax relief for us is a big thing. We're not married, we're cohabiting, so I can share my tax credits with him, but also I'm not deemed as a single person by the revenue, by social welfare then on the other side. So that's a big thing for us, I suppose. But yeah, and we have a child together and we own our home together.
In terms of childcare, are there things you'll be looking for there?
That's the reason why I'm only working part-time, actually, because my earnings wouldn't be high enough to fork out for a childcare, so we actually work opposite shifts.
What else is important to you? I mean, we hear that the government has a lot of money to play with this time.
I suppose, like, for homeowners, a bit more relief on maybe mortgages. I say tax relief for us, definitely. Like, my partner, if he does any overtime, half of it goes to tax. I suppose as well, like, the healthcare for children has extended, so I think if they could go further with that again, you know, even bring it up till they're 18 maybe.
Talk of a double child benefit payment before Christmas.
Absolutely, it's fantastic. It'll take the pressure off parents then for Santi and stuff like that, you know, and things coming up. So yeah, I think that's a great idea.
What are you hoping for in the budget?
Well, we're hoping that it will be a generous budget. I mean, there are plenty of funds available in the Exchequer. I hope that the state will be, or the government will be prudent with its with the funds now that it has, and we'll consider that we have the highest per capita national debt in the EU, particularly look after the needy, those people who are being affected by the cost of living, who are living in rented accommodation, and I suppose also the farmers have had a very difficult year. So that's it.
Well, we'll talk about all of that in a moment with our panel of political budget watchers. But first, we're joined by political correspondent with the Irish Mirror, Louise Byrne. Good morning, Louise.
Morning, Claire.
So we've heard from the Taoiseach and from the Minister for Public Expenditure heading into Cabinet this morning. The Taoiseach saying, I make no apology for giving people a little bit of their own money back between now and Christmas. And he says it's the buffer we need to provide people with to allow the timeline between inflation falling and bills falling. So he still thinks that people are under massive pressure with price increases that we've seen since 2022.
That's right, and it was put to the Taoiseach on his way into Cabinet that this budget was reminiscent of Charlie McCreevy's If I Have It, I'll Spend It, and he point blank actually denied that. He said, how could that be the case when we're setting aside billions of the surplus into the future funds? And he was saying that people are still really feeling the pressure. Now, I think what's been really interesting over the last couple of days as the budget negotiations have happened is that we kept hearing that the cost of living package for this year wouldn't be on the same level as it was in previous years. We now expect that it's going to be in the region of in and about €2 billion. There's going to be 10 social welfare lump sums before Christmas. That will include two Christmas bonus payments for social welfare recipients, one in October and one in December. There's also, of course, that double child benefit payment that will come in November and December for parents. You have your two €125 energy credits. Now, I think it's fair to say that some people will benefit from this budget more than others, but like people have been saying for the last couple of days, this is definitely something for everyone in the audience, and everyone should benefit in this in some way, shape or form. So I think we've kind of come from this thing of there won't be a huge cost of living package to everyone definitely benefiting from 1 o'clock today.
OK, just I note as well that Pascal Donoghue has more or less confirmed that the VAT rate for hospitality won't now be reduced. He says every budget can't deliver everything that is expected of it.
Yeah, that's right. And this news came through kind of around 10, 11 o'clock last night. Peter Burke, the Enterprise Minister, his first budget in that portfolio, had been fighting to try and reduce that VAT rate back down from 13.5% to 9%. And it went right to the wire last night, but he wasn't successful in the end. I do understand, however, that he has secured other supports for businesses. That includes €4,000 before Christmas. And there's going to be changes to the earned income tax credit, and that will help people who are self-employed. There's also going to be the deferral of the auto enrolment scheme until next September, and that was one that businesses were quite worried about. So I think perhaps Minister Burke has got a good package for businesses. I don't think it's going to be what the hospitality sector wanted, because we've heard for the last couple of months of businesses closing down, and they were blaming that VAT rate hike, and they're not going to get what they want with that 9% in today's budget.
OK, well, we'll come back to that in a minute as well. The Green Party baby boost then, that was suggested by Roderick O'Gorman. It seemed like it wasn't going to happen. Now it's back in again, is it?
Yeah, this is a massive win for Green Party leader Roderick O'Gorman last night, because I was hearing on Sunday evening after that double child benefit payment was pretty much agreed on Sunday that this baby boost idea was dead in the water. Then yesterday afternoon, I started hearing that perhaps this baby boost, rather than being a quadruple payment in the first month of a newborn's life of child benefit, that perhaps it might be a double payment. And then Roderick O'Gorman somehow managed to get a treble baby boost payment, and that will be worth about €420 to parents of newborns. So I think that would be really welcome and a huge win for Roderick O'Gorman, it has to be said, considering where we started on Sunday night when it was thought that that idea was dead and buried, to actually managing to claw back, and that will be implemented now from next year.
Mm-hmm. Now, it has been denied that there was much of a showdown between Micheál Martin and Heather Humphreys over social welfare payments. What happened?
So this idea from Heather Humphreys has been going on for months, and what she was suggesting is that there would be different rates of increases for those on job seekers' benefit and those who were in receipt of the state pension. It was understood that she was looking for, say, a €15 increase in the weekly state pension and a lesser amount for those on job seekers. And she was making arguments such as, you know, Ireland has full employment, the pay-related social benefit's going to come in next year, so people shouldn't be long-term unemployed, was kind of her argument. There was very strong pushback from the Greens and from Fianna Fáil over this, and they were suggesting that it wouldn't be fair. The Green Party was saying they were very uncomfortable with it. Interestingly enough, yesterday morning, the Taoiseach was doing a press conference with the media, and he really hit back at this idea that there was a row, or that Heather Humphreys had even sought a €15 increase in the pension. And he was pretty much confirming yesterday at 10 o'clock in the morning that it was going to be a €12 increase, which didn't necessarily go down very well with Fine Gael, given that Heather Humphreys had her budget negotiations throughout yesterday afternoon and evening. So it seems to have simmered a little bit, but the Taoiseach were really strong yesterday, saying that there was political mischief, that it was being misspun. He wasn't quite going as far as saying that it was Fine Gael that was doing this, but I think it was very clear and evident where he was pointing the finger on this one. But Heather Humphreys has lost this one, but she has got a substantial social welfare package, so I think she will be happy enough.
Okay, the Taoiseach then this morning on his way in making a big play on investment in infrastructure, so housing, water, transport, investment in the grid. Are there any rabbits that they can pull out of the hat today, Louise? What are you hearing on that front?
Well, there is always some sort of a surprise. I'm hoping it's not too major, given that I was working till 11:30 last night. I would hope that we have nearly everything. But, you know, I think last year you saw things like the Future Ireland Fund, all these kind of funds that money will be funneled into for the future. That was kind of a surprise announcement last year. I think what everyone will be looking at today is what Finance Minister Jack Chambers says he's going to do with the 14 billion euro Apple tax, and then as well the 3 billion euro that the government has from the sale of AIB shares. And it does look like, as Athanasia was saying, that's going to be put into things like infrastructure, into housing, into water, into the electricity grid. It's not necessarily the most headline grabbing or the most appealing to the voters, but I think there is this really strong emphasis from government that if we're giving, we don't want to be accused of doing a giveaway budget, so we have to be wise in some way, sense or form. Mm-hmm. So it looks like it's going to be a huge investment in infrastructure, and I think it'd be very interesting to hear what Finance Minister Jack Chambers has to say on this.
All right, Louise, thanks for bringing us up to date, and good luck. You've got to stay going for another day, at least a very long
a
day
lot of
ahead.
Coffee.
Indeed. Thanks so much, Louise Byrne there from the Irish Mirror. Now we have our panel of budget watchers in studio: Sunday Times columnist and commentator Alison O'Connor, Professor of Politics at DCU Gary Murphy, and Chief Executive of the Currency Tom Lyons. And you're all welcome. Thank you for being here. Louise mentioned that famous line, you know, the Charlie McCreevy line, "When I have it, I'll spend it." Now, they're not saying that, Alison, we'll start with you on this, but they don't really need to say it because that's what they're doing.
No, it's absolutely what they're doing. And I was trying to remember that in sort of current times, or for people that are younger than me, or who have only will be voting for the first time or only voted in the last few elections, when did we last have a budget that like this? Most budgets, when they have a general election that close in history, were sort of, it was a bad budget, and you know the government ended up having to go to the country. This, I mean, I think after both of them sit down this afternoon, it'll be a case of bait that. You know, it's there is money sloshing around. Mm-hmm. I mean, Louise had a fabulous command of detail there, and you needed it. I have never in all my years seen so much detail, seen it. It hasn't been leaked. You wouldn't, Mike, the president was giving out about the use of the word leaked last week in relation to other matters. This was thrown around like confetti with gay abandon by the politicians, each and every party and individual minister wanting to get the the acclaim for it. Now, I think in some ways that is, I think there's been so much detail that if you were trying to ascribe it to different parties, that there's almost people that's been lost in the mix. Apart from, as Louise mentioned, I think the party that has won out of all of that is actually the Greens, with the baby boost,
the baby boost
being only agreed
it
last night. Mm-hmm. Even stuff like the residential zoned land tax, where that is going ahead. They haven't said how I think it's going to be explained this afternoon how they're going to organise that for farmers who, you know, to show that they are actively farming their land. But it's all, I mean, in some ways, how could it be any different? We have so much money, there is an election. Another key part of it is that you have a three-party coalition government. Each one of them, as we just said, is going to want something in it. But my God, are they revving the you-know-what out of the national purse? And for those of us who are old enough, there, I would certainly feel a sense of disquiet about that level.
You're worried, as in a pre-crash sort of worry?
I don't think it can be. I think, yes, we have learned some lessons, but what was stamp duty is now corporation tax. And I think that also post-COVID, we have, the government did absolutely the right thing, I believe, during COVID. But we have this sense, I think what has happened since then, and then what happened with the Ukraine war and energy costs, a sense of engendered dependence amongst people. Now there are many people out there who without doubt need the money. But I was struck, I'll finish with this, looking at, you know, Catriona O'Sullivan, the academic,
yes,
who wrote that amazing
author
book,
Poor. Yeah.
Yeah. She said, "Dear Simon Harris, do not allocate extra child benefit to me. Fund services that will ensure every child gets to attend school, or use my payment to reduce the cost of going to college for a poor kid, or hire extra teachers." And it goes on. So, I mean, it is, you know, there's a hell of a lot of people out there who will be getting money today who have absolutely no need
don't
for
need it.
And what is that going to do? Each and every one of us notice when we go to the supermarket or go anywhere else, the prices of everything are so high and are remaining. So what is all this extra money going to do
okay,
to that?
One area, Tom, I want to focus on is business. And I mentioned there that Pascal Donoghue gave a very firm, I would say, confirmation that VAT rate for the hospitality industry isn't going to be reduced. There was a huge lobby about this over the last number of months. Now, what do you think the reaction from hospitality is going to be to that?
I think there's going to be a lot of kickback, obviously. as we do see, you know, as the association has highlighted numerous times, that there's been hundreds of restaurants have closed. I mean, I think that the government will point to the €4,000 flat rate payment, and I think for small businesses, and they'll also point to, well, we've deferred auto enrolment, which will help all SMEs, as it's pushing this pension time bomb another 9 months away. But I do think that individual restaurants are going to really struggle. I think that they'll do okay in the build up to Christmas, obviously. But let's see how it gets when we get into that January, February, March, when people are going to be going out less.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, there is going to be a lot more money sloshing around. There is a lot more payments being made. So potentially some of that will be allocated towards restaurants. But you couldn't be sure of that.
Yeah, but it is very much a working person budget, or a budget for individuals, a budget for parents in particular, as opposed to a budget for business at this stage, insofar as we know.
Definitely. I mean, this is a budget for everyone without a really big driving idea behind it. I mean, if you look at the budgets we've had up till now, it's all been incrementalism. Suddenly, we have the white paper coming out ahead of the budget, and it's quite clear that there's a big surplus there driven by corporation tax, about 5 billion. And suddenly, the movement, let's start doling it out. And I think, as Alison said, that's definitely to do with, well, there is an election coming. So we need to put money back into people's pockets and make them start feeling better about the economy and feeling like that they're also doing well out of all of this success that they're reading or listening about.
Okay, well, Gary, let's talk about ideology or the lack of it. Fintan O'Toole writing, it's in print today, but it was out yesterday. He says, in the Irish Times, what we'll probably get with this budget is an early Christmas with no wise men and no guiding star.
Yeah, well, far be it for me to criticise a fellow columnist, but if I was in Fine Gael, I might think, well, that's a typical Fintan O'Toole column. We've been in power for 13 years. This is Fine Gael, let's say. The country was bankrupt when we took over. And now here we are 13 years later, and the country's awash with money, mainly because of the policies we, with Fianna Fáil, pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Is it technocratic, as Tom says? Yes, of course it is. You know, I would be worried listening to the Vox Pop if I was in Fine Gael and the first gentleman who said, well, €12, what will it get you? And I think I said this time last year, clear at the programme, that all this vast amount of money, but when you distill it down to individuals on the street and what they're getting in their pay package or what they're getting in social welfare, It can be quite small. Certainly, this is a giveaway budget. And to Alison's
point,
if you're
a working parent, you are going to get a lot of money.
You're going to get a lot of money, certainly. Yeah, and that is, I think, that childcare package, the double payment, and now the baby boost. And I think Roderick O'Gorman probably played hardball with his fellow coalition partners. Now, I doubt he threatened to pull out of government, but there are other ways you can make your point. But it clearly is an election budget. To Alison's point, 1969, believe it or not, is really the last time you had a budget in May. We used to have budgets all over then. The budget was in May, and Fianna Fáil went to the country in June. And won a majority, a four-seat majority. But, they'd been in power since 57. So,
but they wouldn't have had the money now to do anything like this.
No, they wouldn't have, but they had certain money. It was one of Charlie Haughey's budgets for the poor. Even the Irish press gave out about him that he was spending too much money. And so that trend has been there. But Fintan O'Toole is right, I think, to go back to the original question, Claire. There has been no ideology in Irish politics for many years. We were ruled by the Troika. They set the parameters of what we had to do. Fine Gael followed that. Fianna Fáil supported them in confidence and supply. And maybe the conclusion was the government we had now. And again, just to the point about all political parties trying to get something out of this budget. This seems to me a re-election budget in terms of Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael in particular, whether they need the Greens or the Social Democrats or Labour or Independent Ireland or whoever. But this is voters back in.
So a pre-election, re-election budget, Tom, but is there a lack of an ideology?
Definitely. But the extraordinary thing is, and generals need to be lucky, is this is a short-term budget ahead of an election, but you also have this 17 billion, which is coming from Apple and coming from the AIB share sale. So the government will be able to say, yes, we're doing this, but we're also thinking long term. And like that is quite an extraordinary situation to be in, mm-hmm. like this bounce of the ball.
So they can point to the strategic investment fund. They can point to the fact that they're going to announce today, we expect investment in infrastructure. So they can say, we're doing the responsible stuff, but we're also giving you loads of cash.
Yes. And my understanding is that in terms of the 17 billion, that they're going to be more principles based rather than they're going to say, we're going to put 1 billion here, 2 billion there and get into the into the minute detail. They're going to say, look, big picture, this is what we're doing in terms of water, energy, housing, all the factors that are really holding the country back mm-hmm. and that are frustrating everybody.
And just on the vision thing, you could argue, though, that Fine Gael is true to its centre-right values or its own vision, because that's what the Taoiseach basically said this morning when he was doorstep, that I'm giving you your money back. Now, that's a classic centre-right view of the world, that you pay tax and you get public services for it, but you don't want to pay too much tax. Mm-hmm. And to Katrina O'Sullivan's point, in one way I would certainly agree, but I'm sure there are hundreds of thousands of people here all across the state in good, solid, what we might call middle-class jobs, who feel that they could do with extra money in their pocket for childcare and will be happy to support this government in
but
that
I
context.
But I think as Gary's saying, they're listening to the Taoiseach this morning, there was two sentences and one of them was particularly short, and I counted he used the word billions, I think, four or five times. So I think he has been a hype merchant. When it comes to this budget, again, you can say he's got an election coming up. Why wouldn't he? But if we go back to our boom and bust history and go back to that man on the Vox Pop from Mallow earlier, who said there seems to be plenty of money going nowhere. So that's what you're looking at in terms of where is the vision? You know, what are we doing here? Now, yes, as Tom said, you were going to hear more about, water infrastructure, all of those sort of things that even multinationals are now saying, the sort of infrastructural things that are holding them back, which it's quite extraordinary, given that we are so dependent on them, mm-hmm. that we haven't got our acts together more. But it is the concern that nobody is really aware that even like what the is there any philosophy there? You can say that giving the Taoiseach saying we're giving you your money back is a centre-right philosophy. But there's no sense of anybody really knowing what the direction is. And I mean, I was the one thing I will say was, and I suppose I would commend the government, I was surprised that because the VAT9 thing was going up till quite late. That Fine Gael kept pushing it. Maybe they wanted to be seen to keep pushing it. I don't think from Peter Burke's point of view it was great to go up to the top of the hill and to be coming back down with nothing. And I know there's a little annoyance in government this morning that there's been publicity about that there is so much good news. But I mean, you're forgetting that the Restaurants Association and the vintners are exceptionally good lobbyists. And as I said to someone this morning, and I was laughing, I said, the media can only cope with so much good news. And I said, there's been so much of it over the last few weeks that you can see why maybe they're zoning in on restaurants and businesses not getting. And the one final thing on that I wonder about, and Tom might know more about this. I do wonder, I mean, obviously restaurants are in serious trouble. But you also know that thing that if you have an occasion or something and you're trying to book a restaurant, certainly in Dublin or cities, it's impossible. And I'm wondering, this whole idea of this warehouse tax debt from COVID, how many of them are getting out because of the cost of that? I don't think there's been enough examination of what exactly is going on. There's too many different signals, and I think it depends on what part of the country you're in and all of that. I think that the government really needs to address that.
Well, the government could have cut the VAT rate. Of course, it's a matter of choices, Tom, isn't it? They could have cut the VAT rate for hospitality. But is it because it's a very high annual costs that they'd be facing, as opposed to what we're seeing here in these 10 social protection one-off payments that are coming through? There, you can write those off once you've paid them out of your account. You don't have to go back to them in 24, 25, 26, 27.
Yeah, I think Peter Burke, he's going to be criticised for the VAT rate, but I'd look at all of the different things he has done and I would look at those issues around USC coming down and look at the deferring auto-enrolment. They're all things that are like going to be a cost to employees and employers. But is he going to be criticised for what's happening with restaurants, and are we going to see more restaurants close down? We are.
Mm-hmm.
But he clearly couldn't convey that argument strongly enough. And they're probably one of the very few groups that haven't had something in this budget.
Isn't half the problem that they can't the revenue can't differentiate between big, large hotel groups who would need the cut, let's say, and then your average restaurant in Mallow, for
instance? That seems to be part of the problem.
Like if they bring this in, you are going to be benefiting listed companies, listed hotel groups. You're mm-hmm. going to be benefiting big chains. We all know which ones, who are all doing incredibly well. And we will just be funneling that money straight into their bottom line.
And their concern is that they'd never get it back up again if they brought it down.
There needs to be a more sophisticated way of trying to help small businesses who are struggling.
Okay. Yeah, but it goes also to the heart of the idea of even social welfare and targeting social welfare or not, as they're targeting childcare, for instance, or not, because yeah, there are many people who don't need these supports, but as I said earlier, will happily take it and will probably think then about, well, you know, well, I'll stick with this government if I'm going to get all this money continuing.
And Gary, we're going to hear from the opposition, of course, today. They've all published their alternative budgets. I mean, given what we've just been discussing, where do you think they can make hay?
Well, I think the big problem for the government, and this will be whether the election is in November or in February, remains housing and health. It's things you can't obviously allocate more money to the Department of Health, Department of Housing. I mean, I don't think money has ever really been the problem in health. The issues are far more structural in many ways there. And they do remain the government's Achilles heels. And I saw Mairead Farrell, Sinn Féin's very smart spokesperson on higher education, on Twitter during the week, complain about student housing and the cost of it, and notwithstanding the government's largesse, that this is going to remain for those who seek access to third level over the course of the next few years. In other words, getting a place to live, and we all see that in the university sector. So I think that remains the big problem for the government, and this budget is not going to fix that. And that I think that will remain the dominant motif come the election campaign, which probably now matters more than ever than in the past because of the volatility we've discussed here many times before, Claire.
Well, it certainly feels now that the election is going to be sooner rather than later, doesn't it?
Although I wonder if there is a payment in December, would that give a hint that actually the government is thinking of pushing it out into the new year? In other words, you get the payment as a thing, you might get the payment, you know.
Yeah. Well, Tom, where's your head at on the election?
I couldn't predict, but like it does seem, just looking at, as Gary said there, the way, you know, you're getting these November, December, you think in early spring, you know.
No, who knows? I'm still thinking, you know, closer to the end of November.
Well, recent revelations about the Dáil bike shelter, the security hut, we've had the modular homes, which we'll be talking about later on the programme. I mean, that might have given the government pause for thought, the public reaction to that spending.
No, and I mean, honestly, the public reaction is enormous. When I was in the car yesterday when I heard that news about the modular houses, and I mean, I was just flabbergasted. Mm.
These are the ones they're going to cost 120% more than originally budgeted for.
Yeah, and I mean, you're left in that instance with the most basic of questions in terms of, first of all, you're thinking, what the hell is going on in the OPW? And it's a hackneyed phrase, that whole notion of root and branch. My God, they need to get in there quick and go through the place like a dose of salts. And you see, that adds, doesn't it, to, it's that conflicting thing of, we've just spent, you know, the last while talking about all this money sloshing around. And you see that, the sense then that all this money can be spent in such a careless and outrageous way adds to that sense of, well, there's so much of it hanging around.
But I wonder, when you ask that question, you know, what's going on in the OPW?
Yeah.
Is it political pressure that results in those situations? Now, not the bike shed, obviously, but the modular houses. Get this sorted quick. We need 500 modular homes. No, we need 700 modular homes, and we need them really quickly.
No, I mean, how long is it going on now? Was it like the, I think the war...
This started in 2022.
No, but that's the point. Like, I think that yes, and that they were to do this kind of scoping exercise to see how much it would cost. I think we've too much evidence to the contrary. There may have been a bit of that, but I think we also see how much the system has no problem often ignoring the government when they're, when they Another point for me with this budget today, right, that I was thinking about, hearing something yesterday about how in France, the Prime Minister Michel Barnier is due to make a big speech today about the budget. Things are not good there. You look at Rachel Reeves in the UK, and here we are, awash in it. And it does, I think, and when you look at the Apple judgment only a few weeks ago, and you look at the corporate tax, I think it does affect our reputation. You know, we're moving a long way from cute little Ireland. And particularly when you add in, and also even in Germany, when people are on their uppers and they're looking at us, it's not really a good thing.
Gary?
Well, I disagree slightly in the fact that I think it's beholden on any government to try and get as much FDI into the country as possible, because it's been a huge driver of economic and social change over the course of the last quarter of a century, or even longer, half a century. Going back to the point about good Europeans, it was Albert Reynolds, of course, who famously went off to Europe looking for 8 billion and came back with it. And then when he left in 1994, he said, oh, it's the little things that trip you up, after his great achievement on Northern Ireland. And it's the danger of the little things, certainly the cost overruns in the bike shed, the security hut, and maybe most pertinent of all, the children's hospital, which seems to be just a runaway train. Mm-hmm. And these are things that exercise voters.
Particularly because we're looking down the road at massive infrastructure projects, and everybody's asking, are we able to spend this money responsibly, Tom?
And that's able to build them and to build them in good time.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think, like, you, if you strip out the numbers there that are the FDI related numbers, plus the 13 or 14 billion Apple, like, we're not doing that well.
Yeah, that's the point.
And if you look at what, you know, the head of Amazon said to the Business Post recently about complacency, John Collison, the co-founder of Stripe, said to The Currency recently about complacency. The complacency around FDI, like, that is a real danger. And that FDI is going to be related to, have you guys enough water, energy? Can you house our people who are working in our companies? Can you answer those big questions? And if we can't do that, they're going to move elsewhere. So I think there is a certain amount of, we just got to start spending.
Yeah.
Now, we've obviously got to tighten up procurement and try and not get ripped off. But there isn't going to be time for a pause. You know, these companies, we saw Amazon investing $8 billion in the UK recently. We've seen how Intel is under pressure because of competition from NVIDIA. Like, that's Kildare.
And wasn't there a report recently, I think it was just after the Apple judgment, where Apple executives were saying to Peter Berg, we are being invited to all sorts of countries. We're being asked to move our operation out of Ireland to other countries. The pressure is on.
The pressure is on, and capital is mobile. It's not, these things don't happen overnight, generally. You know, but they happen over time, and they can happen over 3 to 5 years. And if we are locking in our cost base higher and we haven't figured out what to do about these big challenges in the next 4 or 5 years, you could be heading into an economy that looks very different.
All right. Well, listen, the budget coverage starts at 12 p.m. across all RTE channels and online. Alison O'Connor, Tom Lyons and Gary Murphy, thank you all for coming in. And it's easy to think that the budget is sewn up, but it will impact people in very many different ways. And we'd like you to get in touch with us, because you can put your questions to the Finance Minister, Jack Chambers, and the Public Expenditure Minister, Pascal Donoghue. They'll be here taking your questions live on air on the budget tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And you can tell us what matters to you, ask the ministers about any budget issue. You can email us todaycb@rte.ie or use WhatsApp to get in touch, 0870 32 32 32.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.